Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Amazing sometimes how God just puts together an entire service. And thank you for that song. When we were taking prayer requests or giving the prayer request, you never have to present something like we were just talking about without, in the back of everyone's mind, there's a one-word question that just keeps kind of finding its way into your psyche. And let's all stand. I want to talk to you on this subject of understanding why things happen, understanding W-H-Y, why, understanding why things happen. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that your presence be strong tonight, and that your sweet Spirit, as we reminded, that sweet Spirit of Christ Jesus, that great Comforter, would be with us tonight. And Lord, would help my shortcomings, my infirmities, Lord, that you would take the message as best as can be delivered by this lump of clay. And Lord, that you would please do something divine and sweet and wonderful with it. Minister to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would give us maybe some answers. Oft times, Lord, we need answers. And you would give us maybe some answers tonight, Lord, that would help us so that when the whys of life come our way, Lord, we'll know that our Heavenly Father does all things good. And Lord, that we would never allow difficult times to destroy our faith, but rather to strengthen it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Go back, if you will, and let's just direct our attention to that first phrase in verse number 12, because I think this is very interesting. Let me give you a little background while you're looking at it, considering it, and contemplating it. But the book of Philippians is a book of joy. It really is. It's a book of rejoicing. It's a book of victory. And that stands in dire contrast to what we would see as the circumstances of Paul's life at the time of its writing. Paul, we are informed in what we will study tonight, is writing them while in bonds. Now, that means that he was taking his hand and putting it to the pen and dipping the pen, the quill, in the ink. And as he was writing, chains were clattering together as he was writing best he can could while in chains. He was imprisoned. He was a prisoner. He was restricted from doing what he would really like to do. He was in a circumstances other than he would choose if he had his choice. This would not be, by outward appearance, a circumstance that any of us would envy. And yet from that pen, that's being held by that hand, that has that is bound by chains, out of that pen, the Holy Spirit of God, through divine inspiration, writes one of the most encouraging epistles that you will ever read. Now, if you just have a down day or a bad day, or you're overwhelmed by diverse trials or diverse temptations, or I'll just encourage you, go to the book of Philippians and start in chapter 1, verse 1, and read it slowly and with an ear towards what the Spirit would say to you. And just don't stop till you get to the end of chapter 4. And I think that you'll be encouraged and blessed through this psalm. Now, this is what's interesting to me. Now, watch this. Paul has been writing. We've been covering this. I'm not going to review everything that we've taught so far. But all of a sudden, his message shifts here. And he becomes very concerned. We talked about this pastor's heart. This love for the people that Paul had. But all of a sudden, we see the one that should be receiving comfort and perhaps needing comfort more than those that he's writing to, giving comfort. Isn't that interesting? And it says here, but I would ye should understand, brethren. I think Paul was scared to death that the circumstances that he was in, the circumstances that he was facing, might discourage some of the brethren. He did not want to be a discouragement. Here is a man in prison, yet he is being an encourager. Here is a man in chains, and yet he is leading the cheer. I mean, isn't this amazing? Have you ever noticed at a funeral? I've noticed this many times, that the person who's by the casket, who's standing there greeting the people that are going through, oftentimes spends more time comforting than receiving comfort. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you go to the hospital room and you go away more encouraged than you were an encouragement. Sometimes you go to visit a shut-in, and one of our widows, and maybe they are suffering really, really dire physical problems. And yet you go to be a blessing, but you leave blessed more than you were a blessing. And I feel like that's the mark of a victorious Christian. That is the example that's set before us by the Apostle Paul. Here he, if he wanted to, could have written a letter seeking a comfort. But instead, he writes the letter comfort, trying to comfort others. He was tempted to say why. But instead of asking why, he was explaining to others why. And I just think that is amazing, isn't it? Now notice this, but I would ye should understand. Now all of you pay attention very carefully, because Paul was saying this to Christians, to all of us, not just to these Christians in Philippi, but because this was divinely inspired, God was sending a message through Paul. He was saying something very important just in that little opening phrase. He was saying this, folks, listen to me, don't be consumed by the outward visual effect that a burden or a trial can sometimes have on you. He said, you know what? Have some understanding. Have some discernment, you see, because it's very important that we as Christians learn to look for the why behind the what. Learn to look at the why behind the what. And I checked it this morning. It's still there. My Bible still says all things work together for good to them that love God. And you know what? It'll say that tomorrow. And it said that yesterday. And whatever you'll face next week, if you'll open it, it'll still be there. And whatever you'll face 6 months from now, it'll still be there. And whatever a tragedy that we don't know waits us down the trail. And thank God we don't know that it waits us down the trail. It'll still be there when you open the book up. And so I think a lot of time what we want to do is we want to react to the what without having some spiritual discernment. And I like this because Paul gives us a wonderful little outline here to help all of us to understand the why behind the things that happen in our life. Now remember, Paul's in chains. You think he wanted to be in chains? You think that was his best choice if he had his way or his will? Paul was in prison. And probably was being treated very unfairly, very roughly. They didn't have all of the criminals back in those days didn't have more rights than the victims do, okay? And here he was, and he was being treated like a common criminal, and yet he was guilty of nothing except proclaiming the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being punished for doing right. He was being punished for preaching. He was being punished for obeying our Lord and Master. And yet, instead of asking for comfort and asking for understanding, he's imparting comfort and trying to make sure that his circumstances does not cause anybody else to stumble or fall or to falter in their Christian life. Now, we've established that. Now, let's read all of verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened, notice the things, that's why we're saying understanding why things happen. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I'm going to give you five things quickly tonight. Five of the reasons behind the why. And hoping that this will help all of us to develop an understanding of why sometimes God allows things to enter our life that if we were allowed to vote on it, we would have voted no instead of yes. Okay? But God sometimes, folks, just allows things to enter our life, circumstances that are completely out of our control. He allows these things to come into our life, and he does it for very, very important and specific reasons. Now, listen to me, Christians. Listen, we've got to stop reacting like immature Christians every time we hit a bump in the road or every time a trial comes our way. Are you listening to me? I mean, stop sending, stop sending out invitations to everybody to come to your pity party every time something happens in your life. I really mean that. We've got to gain some Christian maturity about this. Hey, guess what? Life's not always easy. Hey, guess what? Life's not always fair. Okay, guess what? Not everything's always smooth. Guess what? We don't always get our way. Sometimes we have to face things that we'd rather not face. Sometimes we have to go through trials we'd just as soon pass on. But listen to me. God knows better what Jerry Ross needs than Jerry Ross does. And that's true for all of us in this room, you see. If I chose, I'd always choose the easy path. But I'd also miss out on many of the things that God knows that I need to learn and knows that I need to go through, and maturity that's only developed during some of the trials that God insists that we go through. All right, so let's go through these quickly. All right, number one, understanding why things happen. Sometimes things happen for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse number 12, for the furtherance of the gospel. What do you mean by that? Well, notice, if you will, in verse 13. Paul goes on to explain. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Now, this trial, this testing, this arrest, and all that he's gone through has allowed him to have a larger platform to present the gospel of Jesus Christ than he ever would have if he did not have to go through this. It also allowed him to go places that he would never have gotten into had it not been for the fact that God let him go through these things. Now, Brother Bo, if we could have voted on this, Brother Bo, we would have said, I vote no to cancer. But when I went and seen Brother Bo during his hospitalization time there at the beginning, he had the cutest little gown on. You should have seen it. Just wonderful and beautiful, cute little. I don't know who make those things or who designed those things, but I know where they ought to go when they die. I really do know that. But I don't know what you do, but his had a little pocket in the front, and in the pocket in the front of his dress, in the front of his gown, was a stack of gospel tracts. And would he have chosen to be in that hospital room? No. But God said you need to be in that hospital room. And you know what? He could have sat in there and felt sorry for himself. But what he said was, I'm going to, for whatever reason, God wants me here, now, in this place, at this time. And it probably could be, for one of the reasons, is that somebody's going to come through here that needs a gospel witness. And I wouldn't have met that person. had I not had to go through this. I wouldn't have had an opportunity to speak to them. By the way, I wouldn't have had a platform to speak to them on. I mean, if you go into somebody to take care of them and they're facing cancer, and yet they have the joy of the Lord, and they are trying to be a blessing to you, and they are trying to be a witness to you, that gives what they say a lot more credentials than if you're just knocked out in perfect health and nothing's going wrong and you're knocking on doors and you try to tell them about how good God is. Are you listening to me? And so, folks, a lot of times God allows things to come into our life because He needs us in certain places. He needs us to take the gospel in certain places that we would not have gone had we not had the thing come into our life. Well, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this, okay? Now listen, when things are going bad, you can just sit there and spend the whole time pouting and feeling sorry for yourself and calling people and complaining and whining. Or you can say, there's a reason behind this. And the reason behind everything that happens is for me to have an opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not going to miss that opportunity. Brother Tim, the other night, we just got an update on it. And we need to pray for Brother Tim. And I'm sure if you called Brother Tim right now and said, okay, you get to vote yay or nay on going through what you've gone through in the last 3 or 4 days. I'm sure he'd say, you know what? I'd rather be have both legs healthy. I'd rather be at work. I'd rather be making money and supporting my family and having the strength to do what I normally do. I'd love to be able to jump up and go out and do whatever. But for whatever reason that this happened, and maybe we don't understand all the reasons. All I know is that, we got the call late Saturday night, and I happened to be visiting with Brother Lou over here. So I asked him to go with me, and we went up to the emergency room, and boy, we're quick. We got the emergency. Pretty bad when you got to go to the emergency room, then you got to wait on the patient, you know. So we were there first waiting on them to show up, and they finally got there. And then we visited with them and prayed with them and waited with them for a little bit. Then they took Brother Tim in, and Angie went with him. And me and Brother Lou was out in the waiting room just waiting on an update. And I went out to the vehicle and grabbed every packet that I had from the church. I had some of our regular visitation packets, and I had some of our Operation Think Event packets, and there was probably 15 people in the waiting room there. And so what did I do? I went around and talked to each one of them and presented them a gift from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And every single one of them took it very kindly and graciously and very appreciative. And matter of fact, right before we were getting ready to leave, a large man that I'd given a packet to came over to me, and he handed it back, and I thought he was going to be upset. And he said, I was sitting with my daughter over here, and he said, I can't go into it, but we're facing some difficulties. But he said, we're both born-again Christians. And he said, we are waiting here and going through some things. We don't need two of these. Here, I want you to have one of them back, and maybe you could give it to somebody else that comes in after we leave. But he said to me, he said, brother, he said, I don't know if you know how badly I needed to be handed that right now. Now, I don't know about those other folks. I did watch one of the young ladies that was there waiting. I say a young lady. She was in her probably mid-20s, and she pulls out the booklet, Jesus May Come Today, and she just starts reading down through it. Now, listen, I would not have chosen 11 o'clock at night. Are you listening to me? I would not have chosen 11 o'clock on a Saturday night to be sitting in an emergency room at Regional Hospital. But you know, folks, listen, maybe God just needed it for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, this is important. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're soaking this up. Brother Estelle Senders went through a horrible stay at the hospital here a couple months ago. I really mean that. I really mean that. That was horrible and frustrating. And for day after day after day, test after test, and we couldn't seem to find, the doctors couldn't seem to find out what was wrong. And after a while, folks, don't tell me that why question. Don't start coming. Why in the world, Lord, what in the world's going on here? But on the 11th day, the day that they finally figured out what it was, and we went in there and began to visit with him, he had a new roommate. And you know what? That roommate received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in the hospital room with Brother Estel laying right there and the preacher sitting right beside him. And we witnessed to that man and got a chance to explain the gospel to him. And here was a man that said, you know what? I've always wanted to know how to go to heaven. I just have never had someone to explain it to me. Now, 11 days in the hospital is not fun. But if that's what it took to get us to where we needed to be, to meet the person that needed to be met, who was in poor health, failing health, but received Jesus Christ as his Savior, then I looked over Brother Esther when we got done. Well, Brother Esther's got a tender heart. He really does. And while I'm leading him to Christ, tears are coming down his eyes, and I think maybe God gave him a little bit of an answer to the why question. Now, folks, what I'm saying is this. You know what? Sometimes God's going to do things in our life to place us or put us into positions that we'd rather not be in. But the last thing that we want to do in that position is to start turning everything inward and not lift our eyes and look around and say, there is a reason here, and that reason may be that I'm going to have a chance to share the gospel with someone whom I would have never met had I not been put in this situation. Well, I hope that'll help you, all right? So he said, let me comfort you, brother. Thank you, Brother Paul. We ought to be writing you letters of comfort, but let me comfort you, brother. And let me tell you, don't let your faith be shaken because I'm in these chains. Because let me tell you something, God's working some miracles. And I'm getting to see people saved in the jail and in the prison. And guess what? Even in the palace where Caesar is, I've even got to lead people to Christ in the palace. That's pretty neat. And so Paul was giving them a little bit of understanding, if you will, or a little bit of the whys behind the what. Now, number two, verse 14. Now, I'm going to come back and teach some of this. I'll skip over a few verses here and there, but we'll come back and catch up on them. But let me give you the second reason. Understanding the why, understanding why things happen. Number one, for the furtherance of the gospel. Number two, to embolden the brethren. To embolden the brethren. Verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, watch this next phrase, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now that's very important, verse number 14. See, folks, our faithfulness to God in the midst of affliction and trials causes others to be much more bold to speak the word without fear. It helps them to wax confidence. Let me say that again. Our faithfulness to God in the midst of affliction and trials causes others to be much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, there's something about watching somebody that's going through something and yet standing firm for the Lord that builds my faith. I love that school program the other night. Now, why in the world, Brother Jared, do you feel this intense burden to educate our young people about our Baptist heritage? I'll tell you why. Because our Baptist heritage, folks, is the trail of blood. It is a history of persecution. Now, why do we do this? Why do we study this and why do we read this? So we can sit around feeling sorry for ourselves because we're Baptists? No. Because the stories of these Christians that were willing to stand and stand for Christ, no matter what the price that had to be paid. I mean, my goodness sakes, I can't read those stories or hear about those stories or watch them acted out without my own faith and my own confidence waxing stronger and becoming more bold in my willingness to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doesn't that make sense, you see? And so God says this, through Paul. Paul was saying, listen, brother, let me tell you something. There's some good things happening. Hey, stop your crying about poor brother Paul. There's good things happening. I mean, stop. Go, I can't believe God. That God's not fair. He took the apostle. I can't believe he took him off the mission field and now he's in prison. He said, hey, listen, stop that nonsense. I'm winning people I never would have won before. Not only that, because I'm willing to stand during this difficult time, some other brethren that were a little bit timid, some other brethren that was a little bit afraid, some other brethren that was kind of mute mouth and didn't want to stand much for Christ, all of a sudden they're looking around at each other and say, hey, if Paul can stand for God going through what he's going through, then bless God, we can stand for God too. Man, let's go take his place. Let's go take his place, you see. And the fires, we heard this little statement. I want to read this from the play. The fires set to burn our martyred brethren has set Europe ablaze with the gospel of Christ. Did you get that? The fires set to burn our martyred brethren has set Europe ablaze with the gospel of Christ. Now, what did that mean? That means for every Christian that died boldly and died with courage for the Lord Jesus Christ, for every one they would burn, 100 more would be emboldened that wouldn't have been emboldened to go step out and take their place and take a stand and begin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Now, how you react to that which you do not understand. Listen to this. How you react to that which you do not understand will either be a source of encouragement or discouragement to the army of God. Well, that's good stuff. That's good, good, good. Are you getting this? Are everybody, anybody awake here? Are you getting this? This is good stuff. This is good. I wrote that sentence. I did. I wrote that whole sentence by myself. It took me about 5-10 minutes to word that right, so I'm going to read it again. All right? How you react to that which you do not understand will either be a source of encouragement or discouragement to the army of God. And so that again is what Paul's teaching us here. Is, folks, there's going to be things coming in your life you don't understand. But listen, instead of turning inward, then what you need to do is look outward. Because there's opportunities that come with every trial. And there's people that you're going to meet that you wouldn't have met. And you know what? If you do it right and stand right and be courageous, even sometimes when you don't feel very courageous, you're going to encourage a bunch of brethren to step up and also do that same thing. Now, when I was up at Bible college, and for 8 years, I attended pastor school every single year for those 8 years. They were rather insistent that we do that. Amen. And so I attended pastor school for all of the 8 years that I was there. Now, I will tell you that I could list some names here that I got of men of God, some that are still here and many, many, many that are gone, that if I begin to name them, you would be envious at the opportunity to hear these men preach. I mean, I got to hear Lester Roloff several times at pastor school. I got to hear John R. Rice my very first year there at pastor school. I got to hear Curtis Hudson many times, who's now in heaven at pastor school, and other men. And I could begin to name and great men. But let me tell you something. Can I say this? Of the 8 years that I was there, the man that made the greatest impression on me was a man that nobody knew before that night when he came in to the pastor school platform and walked to the pulpit to preach. This was a man that pastored in a small town and pastored a medium to small church. But his name was Dan Parr. And this man was dying of cancer. And when he came into pastor school that day, Brother Hiles had met him and he'd asked him to come preach in pastor school because this man was dying of cancer. 2 days before he was scheduled to preach in pastor school, he was in the hospital. And the doctor told him, "You are not leaving this hospital." And he couldn't even get out of bed to leave the hospital 2 days before. But he kept thinking about the fact that God was giving him this opportunity. And the doctor said, "Under no circumstances will I release you from the hospital to go preach. You don't have any business standing up, let alone preaching." And this man, what did he do? He snuck out of the hospital. Yeah, he broke out. I think he had some help, but he broke out of the hospital. And he was put in a car, and he was driven to Hammond, Indiana. And he walked out on the stage of pastor school to preach the keynote message on one night. Behind him, he wheeled an oxygen bottle, and he held himself up against the pulpit. And he preached for about 14 minutes. And you know what? Over 100 young men surrendered to the gospel ministry after Dan Parr preached for 13 and 14 minutes. And he preached on, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify," just all he did. All he did was 13, 14 minutes, was talk about the goodness of Almighty God and how blessed he was to be called into the ministry and thanking God for every opportunity to preach every sermon and to win every person to Jesus Christ he could possibly preach. By the way, within a week's time, I don't remember the exact number of days, but under a week's time after he wheeled that cart back off and was helped off the platform, Dan Parr went on to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what happened? A lot of people were sitting out there, tears rolling down their face, saying, "If that man, with all he's facing, could stand up and talk about the goodness of God and talk about how blessed he is to just be in the ministry, then bless God, let me tell you something. We're about to lose a soldier. We're about to lose a man that has stood the test of time and has faced affliction, and he hasn't recanted against God or hasn't talked bad about God, hasn't charged God foolishly." Matter of fact, he got up there and spent that short amount of time glorifying, praising Almighty God. And the aisles and altars were filled of young men that said, "God, you know what? You use this message to clarify to me that I'm supposed to be in the gospel ministry. Now, you say, did all of those guys end up in the ministry? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I meet them all the time that was called in that service and did go on into the gospel ministry. And you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody was going through something horrible, but they decided to do it right and to stand right. And because of that, they were used to embolden the brother. Number three. Understanding why things happen for the furtherance of the gospel to embolden the brother. Now look at verse 19, and we're going to skip a few verses. Watch this. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And again, we'll teach this more in context, but let me just give you the reason number three. Understanding why things happen. Number three, to teach you to be wholly reliant upon God. To teach you to be wholly reliant upon God. And Paul came to rely wholly on two things during this difficult time. Prayer and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul was saying this. Two things will get me through this. The encouragement that I get from the prayers of God's people and the strength I receive from the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Let me give you something about prayer. You know what? You'll never really learn to pray until prayer is all you have. You know why? Because that's just how we are. Seems like as long as there's one more human thing we can do, we'll do it instead of pray like we ought to pray. You will never really learn to pray until prayer is all you have. You know what? Paul's sitting in a jail, and all of a sudden he's chained, and all of a sudden he can't go where he wants to go and say what he wants to say and visit who he wants to visit. Sister Cora said, Brother Jerry, I'm not in good enough health to watch the grandkids. I can't go up there. I'm not good enough health to go to Indianapolis. I just feel so helpless. I said, Cora, you can do the most important thing, and that's pray. And that's pray. You see, you never really will learn to pray until prayer is all you have. I could go over, it won't take the time, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know what? He didn't say, when I am strong, then I am strong. He didn't say that. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, and what we've got to do sometimes is get down to the point where God puts us in a position. Let's see, the bonds prevented the Apostle Paul from doing most things he was used to doing. But bonds could not stop him from praying. You see, and he not only prayed, but he pleaded for those to continue to pray for him. Now watch this. Learn to pray for those who have been bound. Learn to pray for those that have been bound. It could very well save them from destruction. Learn to pray for those that have been bound. And Paul got down to the point where he said, you know what? All I've got's God. All I've got's the prayers of God's people and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all I've got to sustain me. And you know what he's found out? It's enough. It's enough. It's enough, you see. Well, that's good. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was introduced by Jesus to the disciples in John chapter 14. The concept of the Holy Spirit. Can I just, I'll read some, just a few verses quickly to you. I love this. How did Jesus decide to introduce the idea of the Holy Spirit to the disciples? He said this, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He says down in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then the next verse says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because there's a Comforter coming. And most of you know this if you've been around the teaching of the Scriptures very long. That Comforter, that Greek word for Comforter is Paraclete. Paraclete, it means this, one called alongside to help.
called alongside of hell. You know what Paul found out? Hey, guess what, folks? I'm not by myself. I've got a comforter in here with me. I got the prayers of God's people giving me the strength that I need. And then I have the presence of the Spirit of God to give me the encouragement from the inside out. Hey, listen, don't let your faith be shaken because of these bonds. Because these chains can only do so much. They can't stop prayers and they can't stop the Spirit of God. And folks, it may not be literal chains, but sometimes God allows us to be bound, if you'll let me say this, and get down to the point where maybe all we have is prayer and God's Spirit. And if and when you get to that point, you know what you'll find out? They are sufficient. They are sufficient. They are sufficient, you see. Number four. Well, we've got to hurry on, all right? Well, I like this. This is good. I hope it's an encouragement to you, all right? Look at verse number 20. Let's read verse 20 and 21. What beautiful verses. Say, Brother Jerry, why? I don't understand. I don't understand why some things happen, okay? Let me give you this. Here's Paul's reasons. He was comforting those that really should have been comforting him. He said this. Here, I want you to understand why these things have happened. He said, for the furtherance of the gospel, to embolden the brethren, to teach you to be wholly reliant upon God. Number four, so Christ will be magnified. So Christ will be magnified. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Watch this. Whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ was going to be magnified in Paul's situation. Now watch this. Let me just give you these thoughts. Paul's concern was not for himself. His expectation and hope was not tied up in whether or not things would go well with him. His only concern was that he would be used to magnify the Lord Jesus before a lost and dying world. Did you get that? Did you get that? Paul's concern was not for himself. His expectation and hope was not tied up in whether or not things would go well with him. His only concern was that he would be used to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, whether it be by life or by death. Let me just say this. Probably, the name Jim Elliot would not be known by anyone in Christianity today had he been able to live out his normal existence. But because he was willing to go to a people that no one else wanted to go to, and was, I'm sure at the time, families, friends, people that read it in the newspaper or heard it on the radio, thought to themselves, oh my soul, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a waste. I don't think it's a waste. I think that God used the name Jim Elliot, has used the testimony of Jim Elliot to bring thousands upon thousands of people into the mission fields of America. That story, in part, is what God has used to call thousands upon thousands of people to go to foreign lands and sometimes to areas where they put their own lives at risk. You know why? Because this man went with this attitude. You know what? God used me. I want to magnify Christ. I want Christ to be magnified. That's what needs to happen. This lost and dying world needs to be reached. And Lord, if you can use my life to magnify you, then so be it. But Lord, if it's better serving you to use my death, then so be it. You see. Amen. Amen. Well, I wish we could really, I think, understand the depth of what it means to surrender our lives to God. Did you hear what we said there? Surrender our lives to God. When we say to you, young people, when you come to an altar, you know, and we say, Lord, I want to completely and fully give my life to you for whatever you want to use it for. Do you really mean that? You really mean that? A lot of times what we mean is, Lord, I surrender to be this or to do this particular thing. This is what I want you to use me or how I want you to use me. But I don't think we'll ever discover what God truly wants to use us to do until we stop putting stipulations on our surrender. And Paul didn't have any stipulations on it. And by the way, we know that because he followed through and was beheaded for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, if my life
And Lord, you let me be free and tramps around all over continent to continent and starting churches. If that's the best way you can use me, then praise God, use me that way. But Lord, if at some point I'm better used to embolden the brethren and to encourage the brethren and to inspire the brethren, if I'm better used to die and to die with courage, then Lord, that'd be all right too. I just want Jesus Christ to be magnified. Wow, I don't know if we can understand it. Can we understand that? We understand that. We visited Crown College, young people. You remember when we went down and visited Crown College? Some of you have walked the halls of that college. They've got some displays set up. And there was a singing group just a year or so ago, a couple years ago from Crown. I mean, what in the world? Why? You talk about the question, why? You got young people that are going that have gone to a Bible college. And they've surrendered. I mean, they at least are surrendered enough and love God enough to go to a Bible college and begin to prepare to serve Him. And they pile into a van. And where do they spend their summer? Not at home taking it easy, not vacationing. You know what they do? They climb into a little cramped van and put all their belongings in it and crisscross back and forth all over the country, singing and preaching and witnessing and representing the college. And in the midst of serving God, horrible accident, a horrible fiery accident happens, and those young people's lives are taken. Now, listen, you can't hear that story without these, why? Maybe it's for the furtherance of the gospel. I think so. I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that people were saved that wouldn't have been saved had that not happened. To embolden the brethren. I've talked to the students that were there, some of the students. I've talked to some of the students. I talked to one of the young man's sister when we were over at Lifeway. And I talked to one of the young man's sisters. And I'm going to tell you what they say to a person is this. We are more determined than ever to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like they've got a sense of having to make something up. Listen, they didn't have an opportunity to do all they wanted to do. So I'm not just going to do what I could accomplish. I'm going to ask God to let me do a little extra of what they could have done, you see. And not seven of them, but 70 of them or 700 of them with that attitude. Are you listening to me? Well, I think we want God's will as long as it matches ours, you see. And I could give you personal testimony. I talked to Brother Lou about it this weekend, but me and Brother Lou was in the bus ministry together. Brother Lou's route was here, and my route was here, and Eddie Torres's bus route was right here. And Eddie Torres was in my division and a bus captain in my division and one of the finest Christian young men you'll ever meet in your life. Married a sweet little gal by the name of Gabby, and they graduated from Bible college and set their face like a flint and was going driving out across, went south first to visit her folks in Tennessee, I believe, and then started heading west to California to take a position as a youth pastor in a church and ran into some fog and was killed in an accident. Him, her, by the way, they found out later she was expecting a baby. And when the news comes back to the college, I mean, we hugged their neck just a few days prior and said our goodbyes and patted him on the back. Said, man, praise God, brother. And yet to this day, when we meet together, the guys that knew that man and that little gal, many, many times we reaffirmed to each other our love and the memory that we have of Eddie and how some of what we do, we ask God to put to his account. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Not all tragedy is really a tragedy. Are you listening to me? Not all tragedy is really a tragedy. If it means that Christ is magnified, and if that's what this whole thing is really about, then there's a level of something that I think that we need to touch here. There's the hem of something that we need to touch here and understand, you see. And then number five, we'll finish by saying this. I like this. You say, Brother Jerry, I don't understand the why. Well, I don't always understand it either. But I know this, I don't think God's ever asked me to go anything through anything that didn't give me opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel in a new way that I wouldn't have had before. If I go through it right, he's going to use it to embolden the brethren. What I'm going to learn in the process is to be wholly reliant upon God. And what I need to be focused on and worried about is that Christ is being magnified. And the last thing is this, I think God lets certain things happen in our lives just to make us homesick for heaven. Just to make us homesick for heaven. Verse 22. But I will in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yea, what I shall choose I want not. He said, don't ask me which one, because I'm not sure what I'd choose. What was he talking about? Verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And by the way, it's far better for him. We know that because of what he says in the next verse, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I want to tell you something. If I got down to a choice where I could choose, he said, I've seen enough and I've fought enough and I've got enough scars and I've fought enough battles and I've planted enough churches and faced enough of the devil's enemies and devil's attacks. He said, I've carried the burden so long. I guess if you just said, Brother Paul, which one would you take? He'd say, you know, I'm homesick. I just want to go home. I'm just homesick. Now, Lord, if it's better for these folks that I'm here, that's okay. And if it's needful for them, boy, isn't that like Paul. You know what? It was never about him. It was always about the other people. He said, Lord, I'll stay as long as you want me to, as long as I can be a help to somebody. But God, I'll tell you what, heaven's looking better and better and better. You know, my middle girl's sick, and she's got viral hepatitis. She comes home and her face is swollen, and I'm helping her up and down the stairs so she can go to bed. And Daddy didn't want her to go back. And she called me and said, can I come home this weekend? I said, are you kidding? You never have to ask me that. You can come home any weekend that they'll let you get away. I didn't really, to be honest with you, know she was as sick, because Hannah's not a, she's just not a complainer. And she got home and we realized this is a sick girl. We had a long mommy-daddy-daughter talk about whether or not she should go back. She said, Dad, listen, they've given me a month off work and I can lay around here. I said, all I got to do is go to 3 hours of class a day and then I can sleep in the afternoon and get up and do a little homework and just wants to go on. But she got on the phone and she said, I want to come home this weekend. I said, to see the program. She said, yeah. But she said, Dad, I just want to come home. I just want to come home. You know, and I think sometimes that's how we feel, isn't it? Sometimes you just say, you know what? This is hard. Some of this is hard. Some of this just wears you down. And Lord, if it's needful, if it's best for your cause, you know, isn't that funny? Paul had the exact opposite view of what we have. He's saying, if it's best for your cause and it's best help for these people, I'll stay. But Lord, you know, any time would be good. Anytime. I know young people. I don't expect you to understand all that. I really don't. And I don't think you're a bad Christian if you don't understand this. I think maybe some of this just comes from being in the fight and going down the road. And most of the people that's got a little bit of age on them in here, they understand what I'm talking about. We don't want to get on the next train. And I'm not talking about anything foolish here. But I am just saying this. You know what? You go through enough things in life and you just get homesick. Sometimes you just want to go see Jesus. You just think, man alive, we were in the, I'll close, but we were in the staff prayer meeting this morning, and the staff always meets before the students come in, and teachers, and we always pray, and always pray for the student, pray for each other, and pray for God to lead us and guide us through the day. But we're just sitting there taking prayer requests around the circle there, and goodness sakes alive. It's just unbelievable what's going on in people's families and in the lives of people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A lot of heartache, a lot of sickness. And after we shared a bunch of these, I looked over to the Brother Poet and Brother Reiser, and I said, doesn't it say in Revelation something about there's a place where there's no more sickness? Doesn't that say no more sickness? You know, there's just a part of you that just kind of sighs and says, boy, that'd be good. Just imagine going to a place and living in a mansion and, for one thing, I know there won't be a phone in it. I know that. Thank God, glory to God, especially one you got to carry around with you, you know. But won't be a phone there. And if there is a phone there, let me tell you something, it'll never ring. And on the other end, you'll never hear somebody say, I've got bad news. Or I just got back from the doctor. Or Brother Jerry, it's the prayer chain. And Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so or pick it up and say, Brother Jerry, you got to get to the hospital. I mean, you know what? You're never going to get a call like that. You're never going to get a call like that. You know, folks, there's some whys behind the things that sometimes we can't understand. And I hope this has been a blessing to you to strengthen your faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll sink these truths down in our heart. Now, Lord, I'm preaching to people, Lord, that live in this vale of tears. And there's probably not too many people in this room that's not carrying something of some magnitude right now. And, Lord, it's just sometimes good to hear from heaven and get good to hear from your word. Get a little explanation, because, Lord, we do. We tend to be weak in our faith, God, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And we're real good at second-guessing and questioning, and sometimes even though I don't think we mean to, even letting a little bitterness creep into our hearts. But, God, I thank you that in the Bible you've patiently taken the time to say this. Listen, I need you to understand. Brethren, listen, there's some things you just need to understand. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to at least see a little bit of the whys behind the what. And I pray that that would give us the steadfastness and the courage to face the difficulties of life and to do it in such a way where, Lord, we would not bring a shame or reproach to you in any way. But, Lord, that Christ would be magnified through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're just going to let the piano play and give a short time of invitation. If there's a burden, there's something maybe you're facing, something that you say, Brother Jerry, I'll be honest with you. I've had a few whys lately. Well, welcome to the human race. There's nothing wrong with that. I've had a few whys lately. And the scriptures, God's word, has given me some answers. And you come here to the altar and get you some strength for tomorrow. Get you some strength for the next day. And maybe redirect in our minds. Ask God to redirect in our minds how we view trials and tribulations and things that we a lot of times would have chosen not to have to go through.